If you're looking to whet your appetite for engaging and informative talk radio, the lineup at the Fantasy Sports and Politics Network has exactly what you need. Shows like The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, Time Out with women's basketball legend Sylvia Crawley, Compassion Dakini, hosted by Kim Fung, No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor, the FSP Crew Show with co-hosts Jerry Black and the Joker, and the Fantasy Sports and Politics Show, all focus on the hot topics in sports, politics, and in life. By visiting fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com, you'll gain great insight into each program and host, access to the show's archives, as well as outstanding articles, photos, and a whole lot more. As well, because of its large and steadily growing following, fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com is a great place to advertise. Stop by today at fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety.
Welcome back. It's on a Sunday. You know where you're at. You're talking to me. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and this is The Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. Got a great show in store for you, as always. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of NBA, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything. That's how we do it here. We throw it all at you. Whatever sticks, sticks. Whatever doesn't, oh well. At least I tried. Anyway, let's get going while we're going here, while we still can. We got an hour. We'll take this hour up with a few topics. Let's start with what happened last night. And after what happened in the game last night, it's like this. It's like this. LeBron James and the Heat have to be, and I gotta agree with this, have to be feeling like this.
I'm a loser, I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be.
And that's what I'm saying. L-O-S-E-R. Starts with an L, ends with an R. What other name starts with an L? LeBron. Okay? Miami Heat up 3-2 going into Indiana. Ready to take the Pacers out. And the Pacers said, I don't think so. Very physical game. Extremely physical game. A lot of questionable calls. Now, those conspiracy theorists can absolutely jump on the bandwagon on this one. Because the fact is, it looked like, and I'm not saying it happened, but it looked like this was planned. Not on the Heat side, but on the man with the stripes side, the referees. Because some of the calls were in this game were more than questionable. This was beyond belief. I'm watching guys getting hammered, going up for layups, physical contact all over the place at one point. LeBron James, and I'm not a LeBron James fan. I'm not a Miami Heat fan, but when you go up to the basketball for a layup, and the opposing center meets you and body to body, for the most part, in my book and every everybody's book, that's a personal foul. And what happened? Offensive foul on LeBron James. He goes running down the court in absolute amazement, gets a technical foul. Miami Heat assistant coach gets a technical foul. Pat Riley is seen in the stands because the camera goes on Pat Riley, shaking his head in disgust. I'm telling you, you had to watch this game. For those of you who hadn't seen this game, like I said, this falls into the line of all conspiracy theorists about how some of these games may be set up and that the NBA wants them, this series to go to seven games. Well, that's just a sampling of the type of things that took place in this game. Now, I'm not saying that the Miami Heat didn't deserve to lose this game because they didn't play that well, and I would have to say the Indiana Pacers had something to do with that, even though Indiana did not play that well. This is a very physical game, very mentally tough type of game that you had to be in. And obviously in this game, the more mentally tough and the more opportunistic team to win this game was the Indiana Pacers, 91-77 to even the series, going back to Miami at 3-3. Now, I said it in the beginning, I think it was either first or second game, after the second game, let me put it this way, people. Let me put it this way. If the dumb coach, and I have to say this, if the dumb Indiana coach didn't have Roy Hibbert on the bench in the first game, this series would be over. This series would be over with Indiana winning it. Because the simple fact is they were up by a point with 2.2 seconds to go in the first game. Took Roy Hibbert out, one of the best defensive centers in the game. And he's obviously, for the last four or five games, he's proven that he is the next up-and-coming, if not the best center, all-round center in the game right now. He wasn't in the game in the first game, and they lost by a LeBron layup by a point. If he's in the game, that layup gets challenged, and there's no telling what would happen. My bet, LeBron would be on the short end of trying to score, meaning right now, yesterday, in Indiana would have had a closeout game, would have been closing the series out. When you play in the playoffs, things you do with decisions you make down the stretch, especially close games, are magnified. That one-point loss could be the way either they win or they lose this series. Because that one game, they could have been up with a closeout game last night. Just think about that. Just think about it. And that was in Miami, the first game. They win this game. It was a rough and tumble game, very physical game, game six. But they could have been, that could have been the closeout game, and it could have taken that world champions out. Now, coulda, woulda, shoulda, can't change it because the fact is it is what it is right now. But for those of you that didn't think about it, those of you that say, well, it's 3-3, it's tied up. Yeah, well, reality is really tied up. But in my opinion, that one move that Frank Vogel made in the first game, very, very huge mistake, and I had said it earlier that it could come back to haunt you because the simple fact is this is the playoffs, this is the finals. You can't make mistakes like that. You got to have your best players on the court at the most crucial time in the game, and that was one of the most crucial times in the game. You can't play games like it's a regular season game. This is the playoffs. This is the NBA Eastern Conference Finals. You win as much of these games as you can to advance to go to the finals, the NBA Finals. And you make a mistake, regardless of what time it is, late in the game, it could cost you a chance to do that. Now, just think about that. Now, you got to think that these players are thinking, you know, I understand they take it one game at a time, but you got to think that it's creeping in their minds. You know, we could have, if we had taken out them the first game, the last night's game would have been a closeout game. We could have been going to the finals now, getting ready to go to the finals. Now we got to go back to Miami and play another game against them, the world champs in Miami, which quite naturally, like everyone else, thinks that it's not going to happen. But they did beat Miami in Miami. Understand that. They did beat Miami in Miami. They should have won both the first two games in Miami. They didn't. Quite naturally, they didn't. Okay, I understand that. Everybody else understands that, knows that. But they have the opportunity. They play the way they want to play. Now, let me put it this way. It looked like the refs wanted to get this game to Game 7. Looks like the NBA wanted to get it to Game 7 for ratings because San Antonio dispatched Memphis so quickly. Now they got a series that they can, by chance, prolong, and it has been prolonged. Miami played horribly. I'm still saying Indiana has something to do with that. Indiana, like I said, I can't let them off the hook because they didn't play that well either, but they played well enough to win, and they took advantage of the things that were happening in the game to advance to the seventh game of the NBA Eastern Conference Finals. So what do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? Anything can happen. Monday night, 8:30, if I'm not mistaken. Monday at night, 8:30, 8 o'clock, whatever it is, it's going to be on. Now, is it going to be a physical game? Are the refs going to let the teams play like they played in Indiana, or are they going to try to protect Miami? Give Miami the opportunity because they got what they wanted. They got a seven-game series. And now it's time to get their marquee team, in quotation marks, the Miami Heat, into the finals. So, Indiana Pacers fans and team, Miami Heat are not going to go out quietly. The Miami Heat are going to take it to you. For what happened in the game yesterday, last night, you best to believe Mr. LeBron James is going to come out extremely aggressive and we'll be expecting the same type of calls in Miami that the Pacers got in Indiana. Now, I've watched a lot of NBA games, playoffs and regular season, and I have to say, in all my days on watching NBA basketball, the officiating in that game was highly, highly questionable, to say the least. Guys getting bumped. There's a lot of physical play going for a layup. Offensive foul called. How? I don't know. You had to watch the game to understand what I'm talking about. It was an extremely physical time on the court, and it led to a lot of frustration on both sides, more of the Miami Heat than the Indiana Pacers. And if a person that didn't know basketball was watching that game and had no thoughts of being able to wager on the game, just watching it independently without any, and would say that the fix was in. Now, I hate to say it like that, but you've had to watch the game. That's all I have to say. Not all I have to say, but you had to see what I was seeing, what a lot of people all around the country were seeing, was a play that didn't make any sense, play that a call that didn't make any sense, I should say. And it was surprising, to say the least. Very surprising. The way that the game was officiated. Now, I also have to say this. Now, I read an article today about the game, and I don't know if this was a dig on this player's. I don't know if it's a dig on this player's. Because of what happened in the game. But let me read a short piece of this article. I'll discuss it after I read it. This happened last night. Quite naturally, he was interviewed after the game, like all the other players are. I'm talking about Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade thinks he knows what is causing his Miami Heat team to become a shell of itself against the Pacers, and it's not his bad knee or Chris Bosh's sore ankle. Wade says he feels he and Bosh are having their touches and shots cut, and it's hurting the team. This is a quote from Dwayne Wade. "We've got to do a good job of making sure me and Chris have our opportunities to exceed, to succeed throughout the game. That's something we're going to have to take a look at as a team." Now, this article goes on and says, because I want to see what he's talking about. Here is what Wade is talking about. He averaged 15 shots and 16.8 points over the first four games of the Eastern Conference Finals. He has gotten a total of 19 shots and scored a total of 20 points in the last two games. And last night, he was 3 of 11 for 10 points. Now, you don't think that has something to do with the Indiana Pacers defense and making a point that to shut down these other guys or try to limit these guys to as few touches as possible? Bosh averaged 16.3 points on 11 shots in the first three games. In the last three games, he's averaged just 6.3 points on 7 shots a game. He was 1 of 8 for 5 points in last night's loss. And it's the first time since Bosh's rookie season, and that's in 2004, he's had three consecutive games where he's failed to score 10 points. Now, my point is this, and before I go on to the rest of this article, he's playing, if I'm not mistaken, he's playing Roy Hibbert. So there's a trade-off here. And I've said it, and I'll keep on saying it, and someone's got to prove me different. Chris Bosh is a soft-ass player. Very soft player. Yeah, I said it. He's a soft player. Now, you know, quite naturally, I'm not an NBA expert, but anybody who's watching the NBA long enough or watching basketball games, especially with Chris Bosh involved in it, know that he's not a tough-minded, I shouldn't say tough-minded, a physical player. He's more of a finesse type of player. He's on the softer side of a physical basketball player. He's got to contend with Roy Hibbert, among other guys, among other players. But Chris Bosh, when he's in there, he's got to contend with Roy Hibbert. Roy Hibbert is a very physical player, 7'2", very good rebounder and defender. So you don't think because the effort that Chris Bosh has to extend on the defensive end guarding Roy Hibbert has hindered his ability on the offensive side, especially when Roy Hibbert goes against Chris Bosh. So it's twofold. On the defensive end, he's got to deal with Roy Hibbert and expend that energy to guard Roy Hibbert. And then on the offensive side, he's got to go up against one of the best defensive centers in the league in Roy Hibbert, who's looking to smack your shot into the stands anyway, anytime he can get a chance. So as it may be that Dwayne Wade may get more touches and a more better, better opportunity to score in the next game, I don't think it's going to change for Chris Bosh. Because Chris Bosh has to get about 10, 20, 30 more pounds on his body, at least 20 pounds more on his body, and get a tougher mindset to go up against Roy Hibbert. And that's not going to happen. So Dwayne Wade saying we got to get more touches, and he included Chris Bosh in that. He's talking about himself. Give me the ball. Give me more touches on the ball, because Chris has got his hands full. He's got his hands full dealing with Roy Hibbert. And Wade goes on to say, we've got guys individually who want to play better, all right? But we've got to try to help each other out in this locker room and not leave it up to the individual to self-will it. Now, LeBron James' shots are up, and his efficiency is down. In the first four games of the series, LeBron James averaged 19.8 shots and 28 points. In the past two games, he's averaged 24 shots and 29.5 points. Okay? So after the game, LeBron James tried to explain what's going on here. I mean, we can't state the obvious. They're both struggling, meaning Wade and Chris Bosh, but let me put it this way. They're good players, but when offensive players struggle, it's a combination of more than one thing. They could not be feeling their shot in the game, and the defense that's being put on them, play in and play out, is affecting how they shoot and their mindset. So you got to understand, and you got to believe, like I said, the next game, these guys are going to come out in attack mode, meaning they're going to attack the basket. They're going to try to get themselves going. And if anybody knows anything about basketball, played basketball, if you're struggling with a jump shot, you try to take the ball to the hole to get your rhythm, get things going for you on that end. And it helps to open up the floor, because the fact is they think you're going to go to the hole, and you step back and take a nice easy jumper, and everything starts flowing. Now, Dwayne Wade's been hurt. His role in the Heat's offense has been slowly dwindling for some time. But he is saying that he needs to get more touches. I don't know. I don't think that's going to make a difference. I think it's the defense that's being put on them that's the reason why they're having such a difficult time, especially him and Chris Bosh. It's because the fact is I don't know. you know, it's Indiana's defense is very tough, extremely tough, and I think that's what's really the problem. And it's not. I don't think it's going to change. What's going to happen is this. I think that Indiana has to go into this and not be afraid of the moment. I think they have to go in there and with the same mindset. I know it's tough, but they have to go in with the same mindset they had when they played Game 6. And just leave it all out there. You best believe Miami Heat's been in a situation before with this same team in Game 7. So you got to believe that they want history to repeat themselves so they can go beat the San Antonio Spurs in the NBA Finals. So is it going to be the Miami Heat, the Indiana Pacers? We'll find out. Game 7, 8:30 p.m. Be there. Should be an exciting time on TNT. So Charles, Kenny, Shaq, and the company will all be talking about, are they going to praise and bow down and kiss the feet of LeBron James and the Miami Heat? Or are they going to praise and pump their chest out and say, I told you so about the Indiana Pacers? This team is no joke. I'm still thinking the Indiana Pacers is able to pull this off. I'm still thinking they have a serious problem meeting Miami Heat going up against a team like Indiana Pacers who have inside presence and shooters on the outside. Miami Heat does not have the type of inside presence and inside defense as Indiana Pacers. Indiana Pacers, in my opinion, are a more well-rounded team. The Miami Heat may have the best player on the planet, but the Indiana Pacers have a much better rounded team that's able to do more things and be more versatile on the court. They can run up and down the court. They can play half-court defense. They can play half-court offense. In my opinion, it would be a much more exciting NBA final, and I want to say it, if the Indiana Pacers went up against the Miami Heat. I mean, it went up against the San Antonio Spurs. So think about this. Just think about it. This is the roster of the Indiana Pacers. All right? Starting roster of the Indiana Pacers. You have Roy Hibbert in the middle. David West as a power forward. Paul George as a small forward. And Lance Stephenson, shooting guard. And George Hill as a point guard. Very, very. You got power. You got defense. You got shooters on both inside and outside. Very well-rounded team. Stephenson, Hill, George, Hibbert, West. Very formidable team right there. And then you go to the Indiana, the San Antonio Spurs. Quite naturally, in the center, you have Tim Duncan. Power forward would be, the center is Thiago Splitter. Power forward would be Tim Duncan, slash center. Small forward is Kawhi Leonard. Shooting guard is Danny Green. And the point guard is Tony Parker. Now, Tony Parker is one of the quickest point guards in the league, but this is a very well-rounded team. I think this is a better matchup. This is more would be more exciting because you got a dominating big man in the middle. You got exciting guys on the wings, the power forward and the small forward, and you have very good backcourt on both teams. I would be real excited to see this. And the thing about this, these teams can play both ways. They can play half-court defense, they can play half-court offense, and they can run up and down the court also. Both these teams. Now, Miami Heat runs the ball up and down the court, and they like to take three-point shots. LeBron James is really the main guy who drives the ball, but for the most part, this is a jump-shooting team because they don't have a dominating center. And I'm talking about Chris Bosh. You ain't no dominating center. You're a soft guy, man. Soft guy, finesse type of player. Whereas in Tim Duncan and Roy Hibbert, I would be extremely, extremely excited to see that matchup. I'm an old school guy, seeing an old school type of matchup like that. Two big men. 2 7-footers going at each other. Come on, man. Who wouldn't enjoy that? Let's usher in the age back of back from old school the age of the big man. Let's get the big man more involved again. Why not? Instead of running up and down the court, I know that's exciting basketball, and that's what people like to nowadays like to see, like more offense and guys high flying and dunking and things like that. Okay, that has its place. All right, but I like to see this. I would like to see this matchup. And the only way that's going to happen is for the Indiana Pacers to take care of business. Like I said again, take care of business in Miami. You've done it before. You can do it again. You know what the formula is. Ride your big man. Dump it in. Kick it out. Wide open jumpers, twos or threes. George Hill and Paul George and Lance Stephenson. They can do it. Miami Heat. I don't know. I said in game two that Miami Heat are in trouble, and I'm sticking to it. Unless the NBA steps in with its infinite power and influences the game somehow.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
And those conspiracy theorists, like I said before, know what I'm talking about. 8:30, TNT, Monday night, we'll see. I got to believe that it's for the Indiana Pacers. Come on, you young guys. Deja vu all over again with a different ending. Okay? One other thing I wanted to say that I happened to run across this morning is that Mr. Roy Hibbert put his proverbial foot in his mouth when he used a gay slur after the game. Roy Hibbert, I guess he's feeling himself a little bit. Guess he's because of his notoriety now, that he's getting to be known, that he's opened his mouth and he's putting his proverbial 24, and I'm just saying size 24, he could be bigger, could be smaller. He used a gay slur in one answer and a curse word to refer to the media in another during his news conference after the game 6. Now, and he ended a question. Well, let me put it this: he ended a response to a question about his defense on LeBron with "no homo." Now, that's one of the comments he made. The other comment he made was this. Later in that news conference, he was asked why he finished so low in voting for Defensive Player of the Year. And this is a quote. This is his answer. "You, I'm y'all, and it starts with an M, it ends with an R, and you guys fill in the missing blanks. Don't watch us play through the year to tell you the truth. So that's fine. I'm going to be real with you." And he sure was when he said that word. "And I don't care if I get fined. We play, and we're not on TV all the time, and reporters are the ones that are voting, and it is what it is. And I don't make it. That's fine. I'm still going to do what I have to do." And I don't know why, but he finished 10th in the Defensive Player of the Year voting. Okay. Now, maybe he doesn't bring it every day. Maybe that was his problem. Maybe when they were on national TV, whenever that was, he didn't decide to bring it. But Roy Hibbert has had a coming out party. Has had a coming out party in this series. I think a lot of people know who Roy Hibbert is now, especially Roy Hibbert's offensive game. They knew his defensive prowess. His offensive game has stepped up, and you got to believe that Roy Hibbert is going to be well known from now on. So, with that being said, let me also go back to this. You got to believe that you know what I wanted to say? And he was on the broadcast with Kenny and Charles and Shaq and Ernie. He was on there with Grant Hill. Grant Hill finally retired. After 19 seasons, congratulations, Grant Hill. Hope you have a nice retirement. You were a very good player when you were healthy. And good luck in whatever you do. More than likely, you're going to go into some type of broadcasting, a commentary, on-air commentary. And I hope he does well. Okay, I hope he does well, and I really believe that. In other news is this, and I meant to bring this up. Yesterday on the FSP cruise show, and I forgot all about it, and I was remiss in bringing it up, but. Mike Adams, a player for the Steelers, an offensive tackle for the Steelers, was hospitalized early yesterday morning, after he got stabbed, being a victim of an apparent robbery attempt. Now, this is he's a 23-year-old second round draft pick last year, and I don't know where he was or what he was doing. early in the morning or whatever, you know, whatever time it was. But just like Herm Edwards says, former coach of the Jets, former coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, former player for the Philadelphia Eagles, nothing good happens after 12 o'clock midnight. And this is apparently early in the morning, wherever he was, whatever he was doing. Obviously, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people who had the wrong attitude and decided, you know what, Mike, whatever you have in your pocket or whatever you have on your wrist or around your neck, I want it. If you don't give it to me, this knife is going to be part of your body somewhere. And it happened like that, unfortunately. And hopefully he recovers and he doesn't have any complications. And they find out the person who did this deed. And also, there's one other thing that I wanted to talk about. Is that Tim Tebow and his camp, Tim Tebow's camp, for the most part, has supposedly accepted the fact that his NFL career is over. But his dad says he doesn't think so. He said he's only 25. And only a year and a half removed from being the starting quarterback on a team that won a playoff, on a team that won a playoff game, so he wouldn't be surprised if he was ready to walk away from the NFL. Well, and he said he would be surprised if he were ready to walk away from the NFL. He thinks he can still play, and whoever the unnamed members of a camp who told ESPN the magazine that it's time to move on, it's hard to believe that Tebow would agree with them. Because Tebow is one of these guys that you say I can't, and I'm going to prove you wrong. And he's been always told that he doesn't have the ability, that he's not good enough to do it. And he's for the most part, and I'm not a Tebow fan. I'm not a Tebow. I'm not jumping on his bandwagon or anything. But I'm just saying, he's the type of guy that if you tell him you can't do it, he's going to prove you wrong. He's going to say, "Oh yes, I can," and this is how I can do it. And I'll show you I can do it. And I got to believe that Tim Tebow is going to not go away, not go quietly into the night. Let me put it that way. I got to believe that Tim Tebow, people haven't seen the last of Tim Tebow. So we'll have to wait and see if it holds true, or if we've seen the last of Tim Tebow playing in the NFL. I doubt it, but it is what it is, and you have to believe that Tim Tebow will not give up on his quest, for lack of a better word, to play in the NFL, because he's had a taste of it. He's had a taste of success in it. So I got to believe that he's going to try his best to try his best to to get a shot somewhere, to get an opportunity to play on a team. Because like most of these players say, all it takes is one team to want you. That's all it takes, one team. And it could be anybody. It could be anybody. Jaguars said they didn't want him, and that you would think would be the logical place for him to go, seeing he played in the, from Florida, and won the Heisman and won a championship in Florida. But Mr. Khan, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and his management said no. And everybody is in the belief that Tim Tebow doesn't have the skill set to be a legitimate day in and day out, game in and game out NFL quarterback. Your thoughts? 347-637-3220. Chat room is also open. Call me on that number. Lay it into the chat room if you on site. I listen to all of it. I'll listen to everyone that calls me, and we can go banter back and forth. Anything. Doesn't have to be on the subject matter I'm talking about right now. It could be anything that you'd like to bring up, anything that you want to hear yourself heard on air. That's not a big deal, because I'm that type of guy. I'll listen to anything. All right? Let's go into some more football news. Let's go this way, all right? Let's go this way. I had talked about last week about the Jets and about how dysfunctional and how inept the management and the personnel moves that they've been making. And I've also talked about them grabbing Mike Goodson, and the different chronicled the different troubles that their running back had, and the most recent one is a gun and drug arrest. Now he's being hit with another paternity suit in Houston by a woman demanding child support for four children. According to documents, Ashley Wilson is suing for retroactive child support, lump sum child support, and health insurance. She filed suit against him in 2010 for support of three children, but never pursued it without providing a reason why not. She was living with Goodson's mother at the time. Wilson and the four children now live with her parents. So he's had other paternity suits filed against him, and he's been sued, and I'd chronicled this before, he's been sued by a jewelry store for not paying the $56,000 bill. Now, you place $56,000 for some type of jewelry or whatever it was, and you can't pay your child support? Come on, man. Come on. And he's been evicted twice for unpaid rent and has failed to make car payments. Come on, man! What are you doing? You don't want to pay. You get this money. You don't want to pay. I can see what you're doing. You get this money and you don't want to pay. Well, come on, man! You can't be doing this. You can't be doing it. It's not right. It's definitely not right. And you got to do something about it. You got to clean your act up. Do something. Do something, because people are dependent on you. And I'm still surprised he's still with the Jets. I guess they're going to wait until they see what the they're probably going to drag it on. It's probably going to be past the regular season. So they figure they got at least a season with this guy, and they can cut him loose. But you paid this guy $6.9 million over 3 years. And this guy hasn't even ran for 1,000 yards anywhere. Anywhere. Maybe that's the reason why, one of the reasons why he got Chris Ivory. I don't know. It seems like more of a headache than you really want. But it is what it is. And you're going to more than likely pay for it in the long run. But I don't know what the Jets are thinking about. We'll be right back.
If you're looking to whet your appetite for engaging and informative talk radio, the lineup at the Fantasy Sports and Politics Network has exactly what you need. Shows like The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, Time Out with women's basketball legend Sylvia Crawley, Compassion Dakini, hosted by Kim Fung, No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor, the FSP Crew Show with co-hosts Jerry Black and the Joker, and the Fantasy Sports and Politics Show, all focus on the hot topics in sports, politics, and in life. By visiting fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com, you'll gain great insight into each program and host, access to the show's archives, as well as outstanding articles, photos, and a whole lot more. As well, because of its large and steadily growing following, fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com is a great place to advertise. Stop by today at fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety.
Yes. Yes, people, that's the place to be. That is the place to be. Fantasy Sports and Politics, we give you all kinds of good information, and hopefully you can jump on board if you want to advertise your businesses through any of the programs. We'll be happy to put that on the air for you and be a vital part of helping you expand and grow your business. Let's move on to some baseball. Yesterday, I ranted and raved about the fellow members of my fantasy baseball team in Yahoo. I mean, not baseball team, baseball league in Yahoo. No, I'm not mentioning that to be able to apologize for what I said. No, I'm not apologizing, because what I said is the absolute truth. One other member of my league, some of the things that I said yesterday, he agreed with me. I'll leave it. I won't leave it like that, but things that turn around. Things are going to hopefully turn around. We'll see what happens in the up and coming weeks. I also made a trade, believe it or not. I ranted and raved last night, yesterday, over and over again for almost 45 minutes I spent on the baseball league and what I thought of the different trades that took place and what people said about them. And I made a deal with Mr. Gardner. He came back to me and said, "Let's make the deal." Okay. And we could have consummated the deal. Now, we'll see what happens. And if for those who didn't know what I was talking about, listen to yesterday's show, and it'll explain to you what I'm going to say. Victor and I made and it was accepted, and we'll just have to wait and see for the next couple of days, because it's a $48 grace period that gives an opportunity for the league members to accept or veto the trade. This is a trade. I'll say it again. Alan Craig, Jed Alan Craig is a very good player who plays multiple positions for the St. Louis Cardinals, who's one of the better offensive teams in the major leagues. Then I had Jed Gurko, who's a rookie, who's a very good rookie, who's had an exceptional year. Not I don't say exceptional year. Had a very good year up until now. And he's, because he's a rookie, I'm going to tell you what he's batting. He's batting 276, which is very good for a rookie. Six homers, decent power. He's a second baseman. That's decent power for a second baseman. He's got 20 RBIs, with decent for a player. And he's also got 29 runs. So he gets in scoring position also. That's in 52 games. So that's not quite half the season, a little bit more than a quarter of the season, and he's doing very well. And along with Alan Craig, who's a established player, who's hitting over 300, and he's got six homers. He's got three homers. He's got 30 RBIs and 27 runs, and he's got a stolen base. He's going to steal more bases. And then I give him Matt Latos, or Latos, whatever you want to say, an undefeated pitcher who's got an ERA just over 3, which is 3.01. 62 strikeouts, so he's a power pitcher. With 20 walks, his whip is a little high, 1.21. Those three players for Ryan Braun, and if you know anything about baseball, Ryan Braun is one of the top three players in all of baseball, and Jose Fernandez, who happens to be a rookie pitcher, and who's 3-3, 3.34 ERA, 60 strikeouts, so he's a power pitcher also, 22 walks, and his whip is a little better, 1.16. In my opinion, the only difference between Jose Fernandez and Matt Latos, Latos is on a better team, but this Jose Fernandez has got a lot of potential. 60 strikeouts is nothing to sneeze about. He's with the Miami Marlins. Miami Marlins is not a very good team, and I think he can only get better. So that's the trade. We'll have to wait and see what happens in the next few days, 48 hours, to see if it's going to pass or not. Hopefully it does. Hopefully there'll be no issues, and we'll see what happens. I want to thank you all for listening to me. It's been a pleasure, as always. Tune in next week where you'll never know what I'm going to talk about. It's at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't forget, on Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sylvia Crawley, time out. She's always got some exciting things to say. She's always got some exciting guests that you can listen to. Tune in at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Monday. And then after that, let's move on down to Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'll be there, as always, along with my two co-hosts, Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker, on the FSP Cruise Show, talking fantasy, sports, and politics. We all get it in, and we also have some callers calling in, talking a lot of what the subject matter is. So tune in. Maybe even join in if you like. If that doesn't tickle your fancy, how about moving down to Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with No Chaser, hosted by Mac Williams and co-hosted by myself. If you like either sports talk or straight talk, that's the place to be. I guarantee you it's straight talk, and you better be ready to take it, because the fact is we dish it out as well as take it. And then back on Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it'd be the FSP Cruise and FSP Show with Vic Gardner as the host. I'm the co-host. All those for your pleasure. With all that said, have a good rest of the weekend. We're out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It feels too good.